Welcome to Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, a show where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. Your host is Dr. Anton Raimondo, who will be your spiritual fitness doctor, giving you practical spiritual insights and solutions from Scripture, church teachings, and saint stories to soothe your soul. And now, here is Dr. Anton Raimondo.
All right, welcome everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimondo here on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. And you're listening on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns, on In His Sign Catholic Radio. And if you're continuing listening on the show after listening to Tara and Marta's show, where they had those great guests from Generation Life, Anthony and Kiara, well, I'm going to continue on a little bit of what they're talking about. Because back in the day, I used to give talks for Generation Life. I used to go and help, Christina Barba and people like Caitlin D'Adamo, Claire Daly, Zachary DeVoe, Jacinta Florence. We used to go to different schools. Even I would talk at restaurants and theology of the body talks, or theology on tap, I should say, and different places. And so I have a love for Generation Life. I have a love for pro-life because I'm also a physician. I used to do anesthesia, and I was pretty much in charge of the labor and delivery, or the maternity ward for labor and delivery. So I would make all the moms happy when they were delivering, to take them out of their pain when they would have the need for an epidural, whether it's for cesarean or a regular delivery. So it was always great to see the miracle of life happening before my eyes, and a smile on mom and dad's face when they have the baby and they're able to deliver the baby with little, if any, type of discomfort. So, but with that, I just wanted to share another topic that we're going to have on this program, is to give you the chance to call in if you have any questions about the faith, because I'm also a spiritual advisor, if you will, or coach, a spiritual, director for a lot of different people, for a lot of age groups. I get a lot of young adults calling in. So when I give talks to the young adults here at Chester County or those in Philadelphia, and I go with Theology of Tap or what have you, or schools, I get a lot of it from teenagers to 20, 30 years old, and helping answer some questions. But if you're of any age, feel free to call. Let me give you the number here where you can call, and our producer, Michael, can connect you with me. The number here at the studio is 856-962-8178. Again, 856-962-8178. And the way I want you to think about it is this. Many times we have these questions about God, the Catholic Church, the faith, or even just personal questions like, what do I do with my life? Like, what job am I supposed to have? Am I supposed to be married or supposed to stay single? Am I supposed to be a part of a religious order, become, a nun or a priest? Or where should I study? Where should I live? What kind of job should I have? Not that I have the answers to this, but I can always point you to the direction and how to find that answer. And so sometimes you want to speak to a priest. No, I'm not a priest. I mean, my son is, my oldest son is a priest. He's a pastor. But what you'll find out is you want some answers or some direction or coaching, But because the priests are so busy, it's hard to ask them these questions, like outside of the confessional, right? You might end up going to confession, but you know that's not the right place to go ask for some personal advice. So it just came across to me, you know, just a few minutes ago before the show, well, why don't I just offer that right now on the show? Let's just try that out. So if you just have any questions, I'll give it a shot. I'm just giving you some, you know, heartfelt advice, but also from the perspective where, you know, I'm one of the few doctors in the nation that has actual experience in the field of exorcisms. And so not that anybody who's going to call needs one, but the point is people who get like afflicted or, you know, have these spiritual warfare challenges, what they really started to have was these crises in their lives, and they didn't know how to deal with it. And it developed from bad habits to ingrained bad habits to become what we call vices, which are sins. And if they become a deadly vice, that meaning the seven deadly sins, then that could lead to the death of your spiritual soul. Now, so my perspective as a medical doctor, I'm not your medical doctor, but as like giving you spiritual advice, I use that pedagogical approach or that viewpoint, that template of analyzing what's happening by using the scientific method in theology. Because in fact, the highest of all sciences, believe it or not, is theology. And that's not for me. That's from the great Thomas Aquinas, right? Because we study God, we learn about God, and we learn from him, from his word. And so this is why he will give us faith so we could have and obtain the highest of all science, higher than medical science, higher than all other science. The highest of all sciences is again theology, and then the handmaid of that science is called philosophy. So I come from that background because I have some training in both of that. And so even though I'm not a Catholic priest, you know, I do give a lot of help to people who have spiritual issues, and not necessarily here if you're going to call, doesn't mean you have an affliction or you're possessed, obsessed, or oppressed. No, it's just like you have some spiritual questions, and it could be something simple, okay? It could be very simple, like, why do we have to go to confession, right? Or did... you know, like, why can't we go directly to God and ask to God the Father and ask his help? Why do we need to go to the Blessed Mother to pray or ask her help or a saint? Why can't we just go directly to him? Things like that can be that simple. Or like, why do we even have to pray? Like the last few topics that I've had over the few weeks was about prayer. Like, why should we pray and how to get our prayers answered, or why won't it get answered? So I'm just really urging any of you listeners out there, whether you're new or old, just please get the courage and call up just to say hi at the very least. The number here is 856-962-8178. And so before we get further down the road in this program, let's start off with the Our Father prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. You know, one of the quotes that I love comes from a popular or famous author, the most famous Christian apologist of the 20th century, and that would be C.S. Lewis, Clive Staples Lewis. And you may know him from his different books, The Chronicles of Narnia, right? The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and other books, Abolition of Man, The Problem of Pain, The Screwtape Letters, and There's one quote that I like from him, especially, that I think is appropriate for this program where, you know, I'm offering some spiritual advice that you can call in. You know how there's some radio shows that you can call in, whether it's Dr. Laura or, you know, back in the day, or different other, call-in shows. Well, I'm just thinking, well, maybe you might want to try that here. Anyway, so here's the quote from C.S. Lewis. It says, "You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending." You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. And so I'll lead off with that as far as getting spiritual direction or coaching or advice. And, you know, listening earlier to, you know, the Marta and Kara's program where they had Generation Life, Anthony Yester and Kiara, I've never met them, but just overhearing what they were saying for the last half of the program, you know, how this, it started off in a, you know, Irish pub, and isn't that amazing, right? It starts off where people meet and gather, but at the same time, when you go to places like a pub, I mean, you know, I'm broadcasting out here in Westchester, Pennsylvania, and it's a great restaurant town, great college town, you know, a lot of restaurants, and there's a lot of pubs. And this is where the people are at. And so when I see people there or have been in the restaurants or pubs there, you know, there's a song that reminds me where it's like, you know, finding love in all the wrong places, right? Looking for, I'm messing up the lyrics, looking for love in all the wrong places, right? And you're, it's something about what rhymes with faces and so forth. But my point is, we all want love and we're looking in all the wrong places and all the wrong spaces. And yet we want somebody who really resonates with our soul, resonates. We're looking for the one, right? We're looking for the one. And when we are looking in all the wrong places, it, you know, not to say that going to a pub or a restaurant or a bar is wrong. I'm just saying there's also another quote. I think this is from G.K. Chesterton. And I'm saying, I'm going to mess this one up too. But for the best of my memory, it's like, it says that something like, every time a man knocks at the door of a brothel, you know, house of prostitution, he's really just looking for God. You know, he may be just pleasing his own physical desires and needs in the wrong way, looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for, you know, love in all these different faces. I'm just making things up now because I don't remember the lyrics. But what we're searching for in reality is love itself, right? And who is love? It's none other than God. God is love. And when we're looking, we're trying to find whether it's a friend or somebody that we are looking for to be the love of our life, the one who God made specifically for us, if we are the ones destined to be married, right? Like my own son, he's not married. He made that decision when he was out abroad, out in Austria, and then traveled Europe and had a real encounter there as a young adult in Assisi, where he, you know, had that direct calling from God and had to make a decision to either pursue one of these girls that was there. I mean, I think out of the 100 students there, there was, I don't know, something like 90 girls and 10 guys. And so it gave the right ripe opportunity to develop a relationship if he wanted. But yet, when God called them in that most beautiful place in Assisi, he followed that lead. And so he's a happy pastor, loving his vocation, when he found the correct direction in his life. And so, you know, this is where I've given a lot of various advice to young adults, and five of them have gotten married and have families now, and they're all, you know, doing well. And so not that I was the one that got them together. I did get a few of them together. But I'm just trying to, like, you know that movie, like, Pay It Forward? Paying It Forward. I was lucky enough to, you know, have some great spiritual directors in my life, such as the same spiritual director that converted Scott Hahn. Some of you may know the great Scott Hahn, who was a, you know, Presbyterian pastor and was anti-Catholic, but yet after studying the early church fathers that he later converted, had this intellectual conversion and became a Catholic. And the one that he credits his conversion was Monsignor Fabian Bruskowitz, who later became Bishop Fabian Bruskowitz. He's emeritus, now retired, but of Lincoln, Nebraska. And when Scott was getting spiritual direction and I was getting spiritual direction from Bruskowitz, Monsignor Bruskowitz at that time, he was the pastor of St. Bernard's in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. And of all things, you know, today being August 20th is the feast day of St. Bernard. And so this is where, you know, both Scott and I crossed paths, and I had the great privilege of having almost 4 years of spiritual direction from Monsignor Fabian Bruskowitz, who again became Bishop Bruskowitz. And then it got to the point where when he converted Scott Hahn, he had asked Scott Hahn to give me and my then fiance, who became my wife, private pre-Cana lessons. And so, you know, which is, you know, unheard of, right? Usually you have to go, you know, through the whatever the diocese has for you for pre-Cana. But here was a special privilege that the Monsignor gave to me, and to have Scott on. And he gave Liz and I a private pre-Cana for a few hours and gave us real in-depth knowledge of the theology of the body and the secrets of marriage, which I've shared in different with my own children, you know, and also at various talks, especially to the young adults in life, hoping to pay it forward. And so it was great to, you know, have also that direction from, you know, Scott Hahn as well. And, you know, just going back in college, there, some of you may have known Father Gately, and from, you know, the missionaries of the Divine Mercy. And he's the author of many books, one in particular, you know, 33 Days of Morning Glory, you know, 33 Days of, I forget the other one here, with Teresa of Lisieux. But he had a spiritual director, too, and at my university, believe it or not, it was a Jesuit university in San Francisco called the University of San Francisco. And this was the great Father Cornelius M. Buckley, who also became the chaplain, I think, in Ave Maria in down in Florida. But he was the spiritual director of Father Gately. And so I was lucky enough to have both of them advise me, especially Father Gately, through my life. So through college, through medical school, I had these great spiritual directors. And here also in Pennsylvania, I had various theologians in the seminary as my spiritual director, and also became different, you know, friends with various exorcists who's also helped me. Not that I needed an exorcism. I was on the team, officially part of the archdiocese, and so that's why I had interactions with various exorcists in the area and also in the United States. And so this is why I feel very equipped to give more than just a layman's or a cursory answer to some things that people deal with. Anyway, again, if anyone wants to call in here, it's 856-962-8178. There was one quote that I was listening into the prior show there of Tara and Martha's show, having their guest Anthony Yester and Kiara, you know, how they quote about the theology body. I had taken, you know, one of their immersion courses there with Christopher West. Actually, I was in the first class there when they had Bill Donahue and Damon Owens. I was in that class. I didn't get to finish up like they did. You know, I was getting too busy with my medical career. Anyway, there was that quote that they mentioned about how it says at the bottom of the coffee cup, you'll find Jesus. And I love coffee, first of all. But the thing that triggered my memory, being a lay Carmelite, a third-order Carmelite, is from Teresa of Avila. And she says something of the sort that God is amidst the pots and pans. And how could that be? Like, what does she mean, God is amidst the pots and pans? The way to look at it is, whenever you're doing a menial task, mundane, like you're just washing the dishes. Like in our kitchen, you know, it's a modest kitchen. There's a nice big window to look out from. So, you know, so when we wash dishes, or when I wash dishes, or my wife or the kids wash dishes, it's really pleasant to look out the window. And, you know, you're going through the motions of rinsing the plate, soaping it up, scrubbing what you need to, rinsing it off, putting it in the dish rack. In our family, even though there's eight of us, we rarely use the dishwasher. I don't know if that's just a Filipino thing or what, but that's why I grew up in San Francisco. And the kids think it's very odd, but that's just how it is. We wash the dishes. We don't put it in the dishwasher, even though we have, whether it's just, you know, half of the house, there are four of us, or all eight of us. It doesn't matter. Even if there's just two of us, we'll just wash it by hand. Doesn't matter. But anyway, as you wash the dishes, you know, it's so mechanical. It's all that muscle memory. You can just look out, and you don't even have to really look at where is the soap and where is the sponge or the dish rag and what have you. You might kind of glance down. But as you do this, you look out there, at least when I look out there, I'm really admiring the view, you know, whether it's the sunrise, the sunset, or the middle of the day, admiring the garden that God made, but also how my wife and my manicured it too, how the beauty that it has, and my son helps with mowing the lawn and so forth. But just seeing the beauty there, right? You know, nature, it's God's canvas. And just to look out there, it makes me reflect on God and his beauty. And this is the thing about whether you look at the bottom of the coffee cup, you'll find Jesus. Not that you'll see the grounds there and you'll see, you know, like you'll see a face there or anything like that. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is, as you look upon anything that's true, good or beautiful, these are what we call the transcendence, right? Things that transcends us, that leads us to God. So going back to the quote of Teresa of Avila, it's where you find God is amidst the pots and the pans. So you may be scrubbing that pot or what have you. But as you're doing that, your mind can wander off, hopefully on things that are true, good, and beautiful, instead of things that will bring down our soul, our spirit. In fact, that's what you'll find out, you know, in the spiritual realm. When a person is negative, that actually attracts, you know, the demonic, the evil. And then it then turns into swearing, cursing, cussing, anger, and worse things than that. So cursing or swearing actually also attracts demons. It attracts, you know, evil. It attracts, you know, people or circumstances that can get out of hand. But when you start thinking about what's true, good, and beautiful, just by looking outside, let's say as you're working on your computer or washing the dishes, this is where you can find God. And this is how I'm trying to link this up to looking for you know, love in all the wrong places, looking for love in all the different faces. But what we're really looking for is love itself, God himself. In the meanwhile, it seems like we find that in a guy or a girl, the one that we want to be our spouse. And I'm the one that believes that we were made for somebody, whether that's Jesus directly. So if you're a woman that's still single, like, Jesus is the best spouse you can ever find or have. And that's why I love reading the different Carmelite saints, such as, you know, St. Therese the Little Flower, St. Therese of Lisieux, also known as the Therese of the Child Jesus, or Therese of the Holy Face. She's like my favorite of the Carmelites. But also different other, you know, saints, you know, from St. Philomena that we had as a saint August 11th. And, you know, again, various other brides of Christ who realize that Jesus is that love that they're really looking for. And same thing with men, young men out there, who's looking for that true love. And that's actually the church. That's what Jesus died for, right? He's the groom that gave up his body for his bride. He literally laid down his body for his bride, that he would take the brunt of punishment to save his bride from all sin and make the bride sinless again and being able to be righteous to God so we can get to heaven. But that's conditional. If you heard the other programs that I had last week and the week before, you can go on the website there on In His Sign and look at the archives. If I'm hopefully posted it, but you can see like why prayers are not answered and why we do have to pray to him, and that God is the groom who died for us and we are the bride of Christ. And so, again, as a young adult, you can be a, you know, a single woman, single man, who's looking for the right soulmate, so to speak. You know, that it actually might be God himself that who's calling you, whether it's religious life or to be a priest. And that happened to be my own son, whereas now my oldest daughter is engaged to be married coming up in a few months. And so, whereas the way I look at it here, if you're the one that feels that you're being called to marriage, well, then how do you find that right one? Well, part of it I just mentioned about, how does this person look at life? How does this person talk? Does this person bring negativity in your life? Does this person like to cuss or swear? Well, that's not a really good sign, of course. You know, people can change, and thanks be to God, you know, God had mercy on my soul. You know, as in grade school, growing up in San Francisco, I had a really horrible mouth. Anyway, but I'll get into that. I'm noticing I'm at the bottom of the hour right now, and so let's take a quick break, and then we'll be right back. But let me give you the number here in case anybody has interest in calling, and the number is 856-962-8178. Again, 856-962-8178. And again, we'll continue on this topic of spiritual direction and finding one's soulmate, so to speak. All right. And so this is Dr. Anton on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, and we'll be right back after a quick break.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic Radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo here on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. And again, you're listening on WTMR 800 AM, Where the Master Reigns, on In His Sign Catholic Radio. And I'm talking about spiritual direction and how to get direction so we could be able to get to God, who's in heaven, but at the same time, find that true love in our life, whether that be one's called to be a priest or whether one's called to be in the religious life as a nun or a sister, or whether one's called to be married. And what those are the two sacraments of the Catholic Church, the sacrament of holy orders, where a man is called to be a priest, to be married to the Catholic Church as his bride, versus the sacrament of matrimony, right, where one is called to give their life to their spouse. And it was my belief that we are destined to be with that one person for the rest of our life, and there is that one specific person. And how do we find that? Whether that's in the human being, as in the sacrament of matrimony, or in the sacrament of holy orders, where one's called to be a priest, or if one's called to be a nun, right? And so I left off talking about how you can get certain signs if this person is really meant for you or not, right? And one is, you know, look at the language, the person, how this person talks. What comes out of a person's lips will really expose what lays in their heart and mind, right? It's, one can really be very beautiful or be very handsome. They might have a great physique or body, but that is the outward self, right? We don't know how a person is. And just again, listening into that prior program for Martha and Tara, where they had Generation Life guest Anthony Yetzer and Kiara, how I think Kiara was talking about how there was a guy talking about how he felt like used, if I heard right, that the girls were attracted to him more for the outward part of him versus, you know, who he is as a person. And so that you have to be honest with your own self, right? And so do you love the person or the packaging? You know, I got an MBA at the Wharton School and taken some of the marketing classes from world-renowned marketing professors. You know, it came down to the funny thing how it's about the packaging sometimes for products. You know, the product itself may not be as extra special, but the packaging sure makes it seem like it's extra special. Like, take for instance, not that we studied this at Wharton, but just looking at salt, right? There's various kinds of salt out there, right? Himalaya salt, Celtic salt. You could have salt here from the mines in Utah, and other kinds of salt from the, you know, just right from the sea or from various things. But it's like the packaging or the marketing of like explaining like why this salt is better. But salt is salt in the sense that, you know, the simple chemistry is sodium chloride. But then there's these other things, right, that might be in there that might appeal to us. So in one sense, people are attracted to the packaging. Well, not that people are salt or salt packages, but sometimes we're just attracted to the packaging, to the clothes the person wears, the makeup, the hairstyle, the accoutrements, the shoes, the jewelry, the bracelets, the watch, the car, the money they flash, the credit cards they have. You know, but then what about the person on the inside? And so how do you tell about that person, what really makes them tick? So it's only when you hear them speak and see how they behave, right? Actions speak louder than words. So this is why we need to look at one's behavior and also how what one says. Because they can walk the walk, but they may not talk the talk, right? Anyway, speaking about talking the talk, is anybody want to call in? 856-962-8178. I want to hear your comments, if possible, or if you have any questions. So going back again, like, you know, back in the day, I used to swear a lot. This was like seventh grade. I know it sounds crazy, but, you know, a lot of things happen to us as when we get to be in middle school and then puberty and such. And I just remember getting teased or people were betting that I couldn't say a sentence without saying some sort of curse word. And they knew I was an angel at home, like my parents were strict. So a guy in the neighborhood decided to audio tape me and kind of bribe me to like, hey, I'm going to tell on you and let your folks hear how your way of talking. Because back in that day, it was people really didn't swear as much as they are now. So when I heard that people were betting that I couldn't even go through how many different sentences without swearing, and the person won the bet, and then I was being like, blackmailed, so to speak, about them tattling on me swearing. It really changed me to the point where I just stopped. It was just like cold turkey. But fast forward, being in the exorcism ministry, learning from exorcists, you know, I was also trained through the program of Liber Christo with Father Chad Ripberger's team. That swearing really attracts evil and attracts the wrong people, attracts demons and that negativity. And so, you know, really, if you have that, like I had that as far as being a swearing, but through the grace of God, it can stop just, you know, immediately. And the thing is, you know, us guys, we want to show we're tough. We want to show we're part of the crowd. So we will join in with the nasty words or the nasty jokes. But then when I found out, you know, how wrong that is, and instead of trying to fit in, well, then I would rather just try to please God and please my parents than try to please my friends and being part of the crowd. And so this is where people can change. And so, you know, back then I always thought there's like, who in the world would want to marry me? I resigned myself that, you know, I'm not a handsome guy. I said, there's no way anybody want to marry me. I'll be lucky to have somebody. And if I did, I bet you she wouldn't look that pretty anyway. Well, to my surprise, the Lord, who's God of surprises, gave me a most beautiful wife, and it was love at first sight. And here we're, you know, what, 38 years married now and counting. And so we still act like we're newlyweds, and it's like, just love her. And so my point is I want to pay forward for you guys listening, you know, that you could either renew your marriage if you're married now, or you can help your children, your grandchildren, you know, with any words of wisdom or any nugget you can get from this program or from any other great host on here on Inhusine Catholic Radio. But one other point that I remember getting spiritual direction from Monsignor Brethwaite, the one who converted Scott Hahn, when he told me, he was advising me about this a relationship that I had before meeting Liz, the one, my true love, the one who at first sight, you know, I fell in love with. There was somebody back in San Francisco that I had a relationship with, and I was really into my faith, and she was a Catholic too, but it wasn't equally yoked. It was like I was more pursuing God in the relationship, and she was just like a regular Catholic, nothing against her, just regular, but I wanted to go full force, you know, about the faith. And so it got to the point where Monsignor Brethwaite gave me the great advice to help me decide, because we'd have these arguments about different things, and it was just giving me an indication that, wait, I don't like how this is going and all. And so he basically said to me, which I want to pass on to you, that one of the telltales to see if this relationship is something you should keep going or not is, does the person that you're with, right, or that you're dating or courting, is this person leading you closer to God or away from God? And then Monsignor Brethwaite said, he said, because the time that you're spending with this person now in this courtship, or if you're dating or courtship or engagement, you weren't engaged, it was just, you know, dating. If this is how it is now, this is actually probably the best it's ever going to be. I mean, that almost sounds negative, but it's actually just being realistic. He was being realistic as a priest who heard many confessions, who spent time as a close friend in the Vatican with Pope John Paul II. And so he basically said, it's not going to get any better when you get married. It's going to get worse, you know, these arguments and these different disagreements. If you're okay with that, he said, then go ahead and continue this relationship. But is she also helping you get closer to God? I said, well, no. You know, I'm the one that's trying to bring her along. But, you know, so it's like it was unequal. And so it wasn't something that I saw would continue. And so if this was going to get worse and I can't take it the way it was now, and I wasn't being equally yoked or bringing closer to God, then I just made the decision, just pretty much end it right there. And when I ended that, within 2 months, the Lord answered my prayer, and that's when I met my wife to be. And so that very night was mystical and magical and memorable, that it was, you know, first time I laid eyes on her, I just knew it was her. She was the one. Yes, I had this special locution from the Blessed Mother who pointed her out to me, but that's another story. But my point is that the advice that I'm giving is the person that you're dating or courting. So let's say you're a parent right now and you're married, or you're a grandparent. So, okay, you're married. So I'm not telling you to think about the one you're with now or you have been with to end it. I'm not saying that. I'm saying for your children or grandchildren, if you want to pass on this advice that stood the test of time at 38 years so far, right? And from a great priest who converted the great Scott Hahn, that basically said, does this person bring you closer to God or away from God? Because that's our destination. The place and the faith that we want to go is heaven, but not the place per se. It's really with God. When we say, hey, I want to get to heaven, aren't we really saying we want to be with God? If you're on a trip, and you're on, let's say you go on a vacation, okay, and you come back, you say, I can't wait to go home. Is it really just that you want to just be in the house, or you can't wait to get home to, let's say, see your spouse or your children or your mom or dad or your boyfriend or girlfriend? Not that they're living there with you. I'm just saying that you're back home to where everything is home again, where you can be with all your circle of friends and family. So it would be more insulting to say, I can't wait to just be at home into the house, versus I can't wait to be with such and such a person, my girlfriend, my boyfriend, my fiance, you know, my wife, my husband, my children, you know, my dog, versus the house, you see? So the same thing is like, I can't wait to be with God, who is in heaven, right? And so it's okay, in my opinion, to say we want to, our goal is to go to heaven, but really, is our goal to be in heaven, or is it really to be with God? So there's a difference between the place versus the face, because the way to describe heaven is to see the face of God. And so going to that same song, you know, going to, going around and seeing all the wrong, going to just different places and seeing all these different faces, right? We're really looking for God. But God bless us if we're able to be called to marriage and find that special someone who God deigned to have as our soulmate. And so one great tip that has lasted us, and also I gave these same tips to my own children, and especially to my oldest, who's going to get married in a few months, you know, does this person lead you or not lead you closer to God? And are you able to accept, this is the second part to it, are you able to accept the fault that they are now, even if they get worse? So if the person has a problem with anger or with greed or materialism or gambling or pornography or alcoholism, are you okay with that? Are even if it gets worse? Or are you overcome with those emotions of lust or love, which we confuse with love, or that feeling of being wanted and or just not wanting to be alone? And so we kind of cave in to the fact this might be my only chance to be with somebody, you know? And so are we doing such things out of desperation? Well, this is where it gets to the point, brothers and sisters, where, you know, asking you shall receive, seeking you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened to you. And God promises that. It's a guarantee. Ask and you will find. Seek. Ask and you shall receive, and seek you will find. Knock and the door will be open. But I urge you to look into your heart and make sure that your heart and soul is clean so you can receive God's word, his signal, to you. Kind of like when you tune in to the, you know, old-fashioned radio. So when you're listening to WTMR 800 AM, I know that's like the staple of listening here of AM radio. But of course you can go and listen on the streaming. You can type in the URL and go to the website. But if you mistype the URL, you won't get there, right? Or if you don't dial into 800 AM exactly, you won't get there. Or if the signal is not proper, you're not going to hear it, or you're not in the vicinity. Well, it's the same thing here. For if you want direction in your life to figure out, should I be with this person or not be with this person? Should I marry this person or not marry this person? Should I get this job or that job? Should I sell this house and move somewhere else? Should I live in the city or state or move elsewhere? You see, things like that. How are you going to receive this proper signal from the Lord? Yes, he talks to you in your conscience. But if it's being obscured, his word is being obscured by all our busyness from, you know, being tuned in to all the social media stuff, if we don't just sit down there and spend time with the Lord in the quiet, this is how we will hear God speak to us. And he does speak to us. Not that I'm any special. Yeah, he spoke to me in various ways, Blessed Mother as well, and different other mystical things. But he could do that for anyone and everyone. So I'm not special in any way. It's just that I'm just taking God at his word, that he loves us and he wants to be with us. But do you want to be with him? And he wants to reward you with your heart's desire. So if you feel lonely, if you feel sad, if you feel anxious or depressed, and you don't have anyone to turn to, and you need somebody to speak with, the Lord is always there. And you will be surprised that when you ask him, seek him, and knock for him, that he will be there. And you will sense and have this awareness of him. And he could bring you to his heart and his arms and comfort you. And if you want to experience that, for sure, you will experience that in his wonderful sacrament of reconciliation, or what we call confession. Because in that sense, confession does something that no psychiatrist, no psychologist, now I'm not speaking bad about them, I respect what they do, but they, in all their knowledge and experience, they cannot absolve us from mortal sin, which can then put us back in friendship with God, making us eligible to get to heaven. They can help us, the psychologists and psychiatrists, figure out, well, why, what kind of behavior is this and why are we doing this? But when we go to confession, we get the real treatment of our soul. That's what psychology means, or psychiatry means. It means the treatment of the soul, whereas psychology means the study of the soul. It doesn't mean the study of the brain. People may confuse it and say it's the study of the mind, but what is the mind? It's the combination of the organic brain and the soul. So if you want to feel and experience and be aware of God's presence, go into the sacrament of confession. And even if you don't know how to do it, you can go in there and ask the priest, or just tell the priest, I'm nervous about this. I haven't done this since I was a kid, so it might be 10, 20, 30, 40 years, 50 years, and he'll be glad to help you and to walk you through this. And when you come out of there, you're going to feel this big relief, this weight off your shoulders, the monkey off your back, and you will feel and experience God's loving mercy, his embrace to you. And then when you're able to go communion, in that state of grace where your soul is as clean as when you were a baby, baptized, then you will literally feel the Lord in you when the Eucharist touches your lips, on your tongue and your mouth, and you ingest him, and he becomes part of you. He is incorporated in you. Just like when we eat certain things, right? When we eat meat, right? The protein, the carbs, the fat, it gets to be incorporated in us. Hopefully, if we eat the right foods, it's going to make us physically stronger. Well, if we eat his flesh and drink his blood, it's incorporated into our body. And we now not only get physically stronger, but spiritually stronger to help us find God and also find that peace and happiness here on earth. Because he truly wants us to be happy here on earth. We don't necessarily have to wait until heaven. He wants us to have an abundant life and have it now, right? We can have our cake and eat it too. And I'm not preaching no, you know, wealth, health and wealth gospel. No, I'm saying that we have to carry our cross. And if we don't carry our cross, we're not worthy to follow Jesus Christ, because he calls us to be like him. So anyway, brothers and sisters, as far as getting this direction, again, I'm going to reiterate that God does call us to be directly with him, either as a priest or a nun, or to call us into marriage. If he calls us into a single life to be consecrated to him, that's another way where we can help the church as a single person. We can consecrate ourselves, in that virginal state or that chaste state. And one way to decide if we're supposed to continue with a relationship or not is that, are we getting closer to God with this relationship or with these friends or these coworkers or people I'm hanging out with, or am I being drawn away? Is it causing me to talk pure things, good things, positive things, or is it causing me to think jaded? Is it causing me to think negative? Is it causing me to complain and nag? Because even the scripture, St. Paul warns people to stop the nagging, right? Stop the complaining. And so we hear different stories about people who, let's say, are heroes in their own right, where they've been suffering from some sort of ailment or cancer or pain. And one of the great descriptions that people will have is, oh, he or she never complained. And they were always, they lit up the room, even though they might have been suffering, right? So this is where, brothers and sisters, where we too, in our own cross, you know, we're tempted to complain. But at the same time, when we offer that up, that God will reward us and will lead us into happiness here and also give us the people that we need so we can grow in faith. And so whether that's if you're still single or you know somebody who's single, your son or your daughter, your grandson or your granddaughter, what have you, your niece or your nephew, that you can give some advice, again, like I mentioned, which was gold for me. Does this person bring you closer or not closer to God? And that are you willing to accept this person as they are, even if it gets worse? So, and I wasn't with that first relationship. I wasn't willing to accept this person, even if it got worse. And this person wasn't bringing me closer to God. I was the one trying to bring this person closer. And so I made the decision to end it, and I found the love of my life. And hopefully you can have that too, whether that's you're supposed to figure out, well, where am I supposed to live? What church am I supposed to go? Who am I supposed to get spiritual direction to, or what have you? Anyway, brothers and sisters, I'm running out of time here. I'm getting close to ending this program. So please remember to tune in every Thursday from 5 to 6 here, where I will be your host on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer on WTMR 800 AM and in His Sign Catholic Radio. God bless you all. This is Dr. Anton signing off.
Thank you for being with us today. Join us next week for another episode of Signed, Sealed, and Delivered.